Part 3, Chapter 1, Conquering the World. We have explained that a twofold radiation emanates from the spiritual school. The first radiation directs itself to the mind, to the intelligence of the pupil, thus to the head sanctuary. When the pupil has entered the spiritual school in an appropriate state, then a moral emotion develops in the whole system by this primary radiation of the rational touch, which opens the magnetic sternum to the radiation of the gnosis. The rose of the heart, situated behind the sternum, unfolds, and in this way, the gnosis enters into the system, into the pupil's heart blood. Mystically speaking, the one who reacts in this way is called a Jesus-born one. He has conquered death, for at the death of the body, his microcosm can no longer be entirely emptied. The consequences of the rational moral touch are such that a new element develops within the microcosm, by which the magnetic system of the personality is fundamentally changed. Firstly, a contact of Gnostic light power takes place between the fourth candelabrum, the fourth cerebral cavity in the head sanctuary, and the sacral plexus, situated at the lower end of the spinal system. This contact is formed by means of the sympathetic nervous system. As a consequence, an immortal part of the soul is left behind in the microcosm at material death. This state of being can be defined mystically as having passed away in Jesus the Lord. When you find yourself in the process of the rational moral touch, the new immortal soul principle is nascent in you, and you will have principally and practically conquered death. When the death of the body overtakes this process, your microcosm will be transferred to the vacuum of Shambhala because of its innate magnetic polarity with it. This is the counterpart of the spiritual school on earth in a more tenuous sphere of life. In that sphere of life, you will be able to continue the work begun in the material sphere. However, they who passed away in Jesus the Lord do not as yet possess a complete, positive, new consciousness. Therefore, after death, the development is continued in the vacuum of Shambhala till the immortal soul with a sleeping or dream consciousness has come to a new waking consciousness. On the basis of the magnetic system of lines of force of the reborn soul state, the glorified physical state is then further developed until the complete transfiguration is finally realized. In connection with the foregoing, we established a threefold state of consciousness, namely, the natural-born dialectical man, the man with the rational moral consciousness, described as the Jesus-born one, and finally, the state of the awakened consciousness of the new life field, the new man, the Christ-born one. Every serious pupil who knows himself to be touched via the sternum, via the rose of the heart, and reacts accordingly, is a Jesus-born one. Such a person is rightly a Rosicrucian, a man in whom the rose of the heart has developed. In him the rose has been attached to the cross of life, and the perishing in Jesus the Lord develops. Passed away in Jesus, he is presently delivered from the wheel of life and death. When, in a state of half-consciousness, he comes into the vacuum of Shambhala, he is, of course, a very dependent and not a self-consciously acting soul. Then the brotherhood of the liberated ones has to take complete care of him. Therefore, the vacuum of Shambhala is a glorious possibility of liberation, but no solution for dialectics, for the world must be conquered. This work must be carried out by the spiritual school on earth, by the combating church on earth. This work must be fulfilled in the material sphere. When this work is done in the correct manner, we see the development of a strong cooperation between both aspects of the spiritual school. If the combating church should cease its activity, then the vacuum of Shambhala would fall to pieces, and the entities residing there would be chained once again to the wheel of death. The two schools are direct counterparts of one another. They fulfill the function of the two poles in the magnetic field. In our personal magnetic structure, we also find two poles. The seven-branched candelabrum in the head sanctuary is the north pole and the sacral plexus is the south pole. Via the sacral plexus, man is connected with the karma of the whole world as well as with his own microcosmic karma. Via the seven-branched candelabrum in the head sanctuary, we are connected with the astral feeding field of fallen Earth. It will be clear that no one will be able to enter the astral feeding field of the Gnosis, that no one will be able to breathe in it as long as the karma and all the ties with it are not broken to the same extent. The world karma and the karmic forces accumulated in your microcosm are called, mystically, the world. Therefore, the world must be conquered by the combating church on Earth and by each participant of this church. Its counterpart, the vacuum of Shambhala, develops because of this struggle. If we fulfill the task that is placed before us and give ourselves fully to it, then the vacuum of Shambhala will develop accordingly. If our struggle is successful, the vacuum of Shambhala opens as the seven-branched candelabrum, which is before God, as is so magnificently explained in the Book of Revelations. The light and the power that are liberated and attracted will stimulate the activity of the Church on Earth and will support, illuminate, and make it more successful. So it is also clear that if this Church should cease its activities, the candelabrum of the conquering Church in the vacuum of Shambhala would be extinguished and a group which was formerly active in the end would be entirely dominated by the dialectic natural powers. Here we enter into the crux of the matter, that is the development which will take place in the magnetic sphere of the twofold spiritual school. The Earth, our material field of life, is an aspect of a great magnetic field. It participates in other, larger magnetic fields, such as those of the solar system and the zodiac. Accordingly, every person, as a microcosm, possesses a magnetic field. As a microcosm, he participates simultaneously in many other magnetic fields. For instance, all of us participate in the Earth's magnetic field, that of the solar system and that of the zodiac, but at the same time, this connection implies our imprisonment. We attract corresponding forces by means of our North Pole, the magnetic brain system. By means of our South Pole, the sacral plexus, we assimilate all our karmic ties, so our destinies develop. In this way, mankind forms a unity, a collectivity of magnetic combinations of destinies. However, within this great unity, a countless number of other magnetic developments is possible. Every group of people, striving towards some goal, develops a particular magnetic field which is to be distinguished by different North and South Pole activities. Therefore, different results occur. If the results aimed at are not attained, it does not mean that the group has overstepped its possibilities, but that the quality of those who are striving, the basis, is not in accordance with the desired aim. We as a group are directed to the new life field. It can never be said that we overstepped our possibilities. If we do not realize our purpose, then we can say that our quality, our basis, is not in accordance with the desired aim. Then incidents develop by which results are nullified. That is the reason why in the spiritual school, the pupils have been so dynamically influenced. That is why we urge them to stand squarely on the necessary basis so as not merely to possess the quality but to realize also that which is desired. In this respect, we state that the red of dawn is gleaming and the rising sun is to be seen. We should, if possible, double our efforts to let what is already dawning take further shape. Each magnetic field has a spherical shape with two foci, a north pole and a south pole. The south pole is the striving group. The north pole is the focus which attracts inner possibilities and forces. It radiates at a higher intensity to the extent that the striving group is successful, and it is put out when no success is obtained. Let us now investigate the possible destiny of such a group. Imagine that a church were to be founded by a group of people who have become tired of dialectics and who are seeking liberation. Let us assume that at the onset their striving is entirely pure. Therefore, a Gnostic touch must result from it. Then a magnetic sphere is formed with initially very good perspectives, but then we often see how the striving flags, due to, for instance, the fact that the church develops in a dialectical way and the group in question is not able to resist karmic magnetic influences. The church remains in existence as an institution, but at a given moment its two poles stand completely in the magnetic powers of the nature of death. Then this church is no longer world liberating, it no longer fights karma, it no longer fights against the world, but becomes world serving. Following exactly the same magnetic laws, such a process will come about in a transfiguristic spiritual school. Exactly the same would happen to us as to the church in our example if we did not continuously take care. Undeniably, we form a group of striving people and so we possess a magnetic field. If we coordinate our striving in the right manner and always take care to banish every opposing vibration, then we bind our magnetic quality and attain our purpose. Then a most remarkable magnetic sphere is seen to develop. To realize this state, we have fought in this school for many years in a continuous effort, because a flagging of 1 second, a lack of vigilance for 1 second, could mean being taken by surprise by the magnetic consequences of the karma brought into the school by the pupils. Do understand what this is all about. A pupil enters the school and is heartily accepted. However, what does this pupil bring into the school besides his possibilities, his karmic inheritance, doesn't he? For he has not yet been freed from his karmic past, so the combined karmic forces of all pupils still have their effect. They have an obstructing influence upon the activity and expansion of the school, which must manifest itself in its forecourt. Therefore, we must not only conquer the world in general, but each one of us must also conquer his own little world. And the school always has to take care that it is not taken by surprise by your little world, for only a small thing need happen to slow the work down. That is why we say to our pupils, "Do you now understand why we often study you carefully? We often see through that which urges you on and why you act and speak as you do, because the enemy does not leave you alone until you have conquered your little world. Only then is the school safe with regard to your person. The collective karma that we, by nature, introduce into the school, reinforced by the influences of those powers which would prevent to their utmost the above-mentioned remarkable nature from developing, waylays us by day and by night, continually seeking ways to damage the work. What then is this remarkable nature? Well, when we as a group have been rationally, morally kindled by the gnosis and the course of Jesus develops within each one of us, in the school and consequently in our magnetic field, such a great difference of vibration between the north pole of our magnetic field and the field of dialectics comes into existence that because of this new vibration, the 7-branched candelabrum, on which the 7 fires of Shambhala must burn, becomes immune. That part of the magnetic field of the spiritual school is no longer to be reached by dialectic radiations. When we fulfill our task with all the power that is in us, when we are continually aware of ourselves, when we continue to encourage and support each other in watchful, impersonal devotion, then the remarkable fact develops that the north pole of our magnetic field is freed from the nature of death. Then that part of the spiritual school has become pure light. It no longer shows any dark spots. By accepting the fight with all its consequences here, it has become light and not of this world there. The victory begins to show itself already there. One part of the magnetic body has been liberated.